What time is it? It's Packard Folks at time. Hat? Check. Shirt? Check. Pants? Optional. Mug? Double check. Check us out at cafepress.com/PackardFolksAt where you can get all this great merchandise and more.
Do you like Packard Folks at and want to hear it on demand and on the go? Download the free app today at Stitcher.com. Available on iOS, Android, Nook, and iPad.
This is Packard Folks at, and I'm poking at your news.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another fine edition of Packard Pokes At. I am your immutable and unmutable host, Packard Sonic. And joining me tonight from the far east coast is the Atheist Ranger.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
And joining me from the ill that is Illinois is Matt, not a believer, 71.
Hello, everybody.
Stephen Hawking has come out with yet another prediction about the Earth, and he's saying that basically that the Earth is going to become a sizzling fireball in the next 600 years. Looking at my watch, I don't think I'm going to be around for that. But his biggest contention is that there is just too many people, and we are running out of resources. He says if we don't leave soon, the overpopulation will increase the energy consumption and pretty much kill us all. Hawking has a plan, though. He says, speaking at the Tennessee We Summit in Beijing, Hawking appealed to investors to back his plans to travel to Alpha Centauri, 4 light years away. Okay, let's put this into perspective. It's not going to take 4 years to get there and then 4 years back, because when you're talking light years, that's not a measurement of speed. It's a measurement of distance. Okay, we're talking millions and millions of miles. So to travel something even as close as 4 light years away, or even a light year away, would take millions of years normally. However, he's putting forth this venture. It's called Starshot, and it's basically a tiny spacecraft that travels at the speed of light. Now, such a system could reach Mars in about an hour, or reach Pluto in days, pass Voyager in under a week, and then reach Alpha Centauri in just 20 years. I think I saw this movie. Just saying. Something about being lost and in space. Sounds very, very familiar. He goes, maybe if all goes well, something a little after the middle of the century, we'll have our first picture of another planet that may be life-bearing orbiting the nearest star. Peter Warden, from the former head of NASA's Ames Research Center and Starshot Breakthrough Director, said at the summit. The problem is, I'm not sure we have any technologies right now that would be able to propel us at the speed of light. The thing is, with traveling at that speed, let's say hypothetically we could travel at those speeds. For the people on board that ship, time would literally slow down for them. But for us, it would continue on at normal speeds. So let's just say it took 20 years for them to get there. By the time our 20 years have passed, for them, it may seem like only a few months had passed, or a few days maybe, or a few weeks even. But our time would still be going normal speeds. But by the time they got back, they would hardly have aged, and we would be 40 years older. I mean, if we were able to send somebody out there. Atheist Ranger, your thoughts?
This is very interesting, because kind of hard to talk about, seeing as none of us are going to be here when this supposedly happens. So, I mean, it's kind of hard to have thoughts about it. But I think it's something that if the human race even at all cares about its survival, it's definitely going to want to do this. But me being me, you know, bring on the nukes. I mean, like, the amount of stupidity that humanity has at this point, do we really want to send that to other planets?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think as far as our species is concerned, if we want to survive, we are going to have to eventually get off this rock and then move eventually to other planets. Otherwise, the human race will begin and end right here.
Granted, let me be clear, I don't think that's most likely not going to happen, because I think our bodies are so used to being on Earth that it may not survive on other, like, even other Earth-like planets, supposedly, that our body could handle that, in my opinion. But I'm not a scientist, so who knows?
We do adapt to the environments that we're in. I mean, think about it. We can't survive underwater, but we build submarines. And people survive underneath the water because, and in those submarines, because we build an environment to survive in those environments. And let's stay within our solar system for a minute. Let's say we build a colony on Mars, right? And the gravity on Mars is a little less than it is here on Earth. Over time, the people who are born there would be be very, very weak, if they, especially if they were to come back here to the Earth after the fact. But if we go there, we would be considered to be incredibly strong. So it's a matter of our environment. We will adapt to the environment. It just takes time. Like the argument with the puddle, let's say you have an intelligent puddle of water. The water, as it falls into the puddle, and the puddle is a certain shape, if you could think about it like that, the water inside would think that the shape was made for them, but it's not. The body of water, which would be the puddle, would be the thing that's shaped to the environment. So we would eventually shape to the environment.
Yeah, true. I mean, I think for thousands of years, human beings couldn't process dairy, and you know what, we managed to do that.
Yeah, we were never adapted to drink milk, for example. I mean, we weren't drinking milk is not something that we were evolved to do, but over time we've become adapted to it. Matt, your thoughts?
Well, here's my thing. Think about global warming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, look at how much the polar ice caps have melted, and I mean, it's possible that this could happen. He's saying 600 years, so none of us are going to be around.
Yeah,
but I think that you could be right.
Well, possibly. I mean, it's all hypothetical at this point. We had a comment from Godless Geezer. Thank you for your comment, Godless Geezer. He says we could only move to a planet that had no previous life because we would have no means of resisting microbes, since our immune system is based on attacking based on DNA of Earth life. And that's a good point, actually. Let's just say that, and I'm going to go off what he said there. If we did move to another planet that had, let's just say, some microbes, some vegetation on there that we were not familiar with, or we developed some kind of strain, it could potentially kill us. But I think that over time, like when you become used to the planet, whatever, I think over time and generations, I mean, if you could get it to survive that long, they would eventually build up immunities to these viruses and things. Take, for example, the sickle cell anemia. It affects mostly Black people. Now, that particular thing that's in their body, that's actually a developed strain, and it was originally to fight malaria. And most people in, like, here in the United States, for example, we don't have malaria as a regular thing. You know, we don't have to worry about fighting it. But in those other countries that have it, they have developed a resistance to it. That's why the blood cells are shaped like that. That's why it's called sickle cell. I mean, over time, we could develop barriers like that too. I mean, would it happen overnight? Absolutely not. But I mean, it would probably take generations. Another comment here from Practical Magic 9, and thank you for your comment. That, or we could pack smallpox blankets and conquer them all. Mwahaha. Wait, not that funny.
That's true.
Can we send Donald Trump to another planet?
Oh, again, I don't want the intergalactic police on us, okay?
Well, that's true.
That's pollution, all right?
I mean, that's also another thing to be concerned about is possible, I wouldn't even say bacteria, possible like viruses that we may not be familiar with.
Yeah, you know, when they went to the moon originally, they didn't know that if the moon had any viruses or anything like that that they could get on them. In fact, that they quarantined them for several days to be sure there was nothing on there. Although, funny story, though, about that, while they were being quarantined, there were several times during the quarantine that quarantine got broken. And so, So if there had been a virus or something that had brought back from the moon, we would have all gotten it by now. I'm just saying. But since there's no atmosphere on the moon, well, there's very little. I mean, it's nothing we could breathe, but it's funny. If there was something there that they could have brought back, we would have all caught it by now.
Well, it's a good thing that the moon landing was fake then, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
It was aliens, man.
It's aliens.
Could it be? Could it be?
The one thing about religious people, they seem to think that we believe in demons or things like that. And we have no morals because we just don't believe in what they believe in. And getting into politics with people with that bigotry about us is very difficult. However, a man by the name of Andrew Zwicker actually was able to get into office being an atheist in, of all places, New Jersey. He got into the New Jersey General Assembly. He's the head of science at the Education of Princeton Plasma Physics Laboratory, and he's a physicist. And unlike the Republicans who treat science like a four-letter word, you said a bad. Zwicker is a Democrat and a proud advocate of STEM fields. When he first got in there in 2015, he ran for the New Jersey Assembly. He beat a Republican incumbent by the narrowest of margins you'll ever see, less than 100 votes. So when they say your vote counts, it actually counts. So you should go out and vote when you have the chance to vote. Even though it was under 100 votes, it was still enough to put him into office. And he just ran for a re-election recently, and the voters rewarded him with another term by a very, very comfortable margin. The general election for 2017, he won by 33,972 votes to a paltry 32,470 votes. So he made quite an impression on them, apparently. So it's nice to see that if you're an atheist, you're running for something and you can get into office. So if you have that desire to be into office and you are an atheist, go for it. As a matter of fact, one of the ladies that was in Virginia, she ran against an incumbent Republican. This was on the news just recently. She was a first timer. She had never been in politics before, and she found out she was pregnant, and she still tried to get into office, even though she was pregnant and recently had twins, and she won against an incumbent Republican. Go out there and try it, especially if you're a Democrat. Go and just do it. Anyway, as a scientist, he promotes public policy using evidence-based decision-making, not ideology, and is focused on rebuilding the state's infrastructure and economy, protecting the environment, and enhancing public education, making college affordable. Run for president, man! I'm just saying, run for president. It's nice to see another non-religious person in elected office, since there are only a handful of them at the state level and none who are open about it beyond that. But it's even better to know that he's smart. He bases policy decisions on evidence and reason and not religion or political correctness. Tony, your thoughts?
This is obviously a good thing. I think that's, you know, I don't know how many people are watching this, but this needs to happen more often. Because I think more often than not, it's atheist and non-religious people who are making decisions politics-wise based on evidence. And this just needs to happen more often.
Absolutely. I agree.
I mean, I think that we have, I think if we had more atheists at the federal level, I mean, who knows, we might have had a Medicare for all system by now.
Yeah, I think we would have a way better Medicare system right now if people were in office would, you know, reason and be a little bit more empathetic to the people around them. But right now we got rich people in office trying to get richer off the backs of the people like us who can't afford that kind of stuff.
Well, not only that, it doesn't help that, again, we do have private money in our politics. So it doesn't help that pretty much big pharma, probably for-profit colleges and the NRA pretty much own our government right now.
Yeah, pretty much at that. Matt, your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree with Tony. We need more people like that in office because, I mean, if you look at the situation now with all this religious stuff trying to be integrated into politics, it's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
So if we had more people that were level-headed and were atheists, I think we would probably be in a better position as far as that goes. Mm-hmm. I mean, I could be wrong, but
you just
have to look at it from a different standpoint. But there aren't very many atheists that are politicians, so...
That's true. There's only a handful of them. There's not that many.
Yeah, it's not like it's a dime a dozen. It's very select few.
Well, mm-hmm. I mean, let me make myself also clear. I think that atheist politicians are much better than religious politicians, because religious politicians, which in our country is mostly Christians, they're just going to pass laws that please their base. Whereas atheist politicians, we're going to pass laws that's pretty much going to benefit everyone, not just a certain group of people.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I agree on that point.
Me too.
I really don't have too much more to say about this. I'm just kind of glad that he is in office. And again, if you're an atheist and you feel like you can run for an office wherever you are at, especially if you're Democrat, go for it, because this is the time to do it. We need to stand up and start pushing out these dinosaurs that think that science is a four-letter word. And speaking of four-letter words, we had another comment from Connie. Thank you, Connie, for your comment. She says, trying to figure out how to make science, quote unquote, a four-letter word. Derp. Definitely get out there and run.
While we are poking at your news, you can poke us at Facebook and Twitter, or poke us with an email at ppapodcast@gmail.com, or leave us a message at 662-709-PPAP. Join us live on YouTube/PackardPokesAt on Friday nights at 9 p.m. Central Time. Be part of the conversation by live chatting with us during the show. Enjoy the show? Help support us by becoming a monthly patron at patreon.com/PackardPokesAt, or look awesome by buying something at cafepress.com/PackardPokesAt. No money, no problem. You can help us by sharing the show with friends and rate us on iTunes and Stitcher. For everyone that shares and rates us, you kick ass.
The Atheists,
The Bible,
and No Wardrobe, the podcast.
Wait a minute. No wardrobe? You mean we're going to be naked while we do this?
Well, seeing how I'm an atheist and I'm reading the Bible, and since clothes are flammable...
Fire! Fire! Fire!
I thought it might be a good idea to take them all off first.
Naked or not, follow along as we read, analyze, and try to keep you from falling asleep as we go through this boring-ass book.
Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, and Spreaker. Who knows? We may even be on YouTube someday. And be sure to check out our secondary podcast, The Atheist, The Bible, and No Wardrobe. Another episode dropped on Thursday morning. I've forgotten how much we had read on some of these, and I can't help but laugh at not only my humor, but Connie's humor in these as well. But the funniest thing is the book itself. The fact that anybody believes this stuff is just amazing, because this whole book is a comedy of tragedies. The whole book is a tragedy. The fact that anybody believes that any of this happened.
It's the Onion Radio News.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't.
You know, we got Cyber Monday coming up, and then we have the Friday right before Thanksgiving, where you get those deep discounts at the stores. You know, you go in and you try to claw through people to get through a TV set for like $5. I don't know. I've never been to any of these things. I've seen the people outside waiting in the freezing cold, waiting to get into these stores at 3 or 4 a.m. to save $5. Or $10 or whatever it is. Well, a couple down in Florida decided to not wait for the special deals and decided to make their own. A Florida woman was arrested on Monday after attempting to carry out on one of the most interesting robberies we've ever seen. And I have to say, this is probably one of the most interesting I've ever seen. Although I have seen similar to things to this, but not on this scale. Cheyenne Amber West, a 25-year-old mother from Fort Pierce, was charged with felony grand theft and felony shoplifting after she rang up $1,824 worth of electronics for the grand total of $3.70. I wonder what coupon she was using, because can you get me some of those coupons? Now, she did this all at the Walmart self-checkout, according to T.C. Palm. The suspect and her mother, Alicia West, allegedly picked up several high-priced items from the store's electronic departments, including video games and a laptop, and covered up all the barcode stickers of merchandise from the store's own clearance department. Sometimes you have those bargain bins where they have the small discount things, like a DVD that was originally went for like $19.95, but since it was a real stinker, it's now like 50 cents or something like that. So they throw it in the bargain bin and say, here, we'll almost pay you to take it out of here. Just get rid of it. You know, one of those type bins. The fact is, if you think you're getting away with that, you're crazy. A loss prevention officer at the Walmart took notice of the pair and stopped them before they could make off with their discounted goods, quote unquote. And her excuse is, I'm just trying to get gifts for my son that I cannot afford. She told the deputy, the computer is for my husband. Since he just got me a Coach purse, I figured he deserves something nice as well. I don't know what a Coach purse is. Is that some kind of special fancy bag for ladies, I guess? Is that like the Gucci bags like they used to have? Anyway, she'd been held at the Indian River County Jail in Florida on a $3,000 bond. Atheist Ranger, your thoughts?
That sounds like a limited margarine. I mean, that's like the definition of street smart right there. I mean, that's something I'd see like in a cartoon or something.
I remember actually a number of years ago, somebody actually tried something like this once before, where they had taken their own stickers. People would actually print up their own stickers and they'd bring them in and they'd slap it on something like, I don't know, a coffee pot, which was originally, let's say, $50. They got it marked down like to $10 or whatever, you know, or even $1.50. And they could get it out without people knowing what it was, you know, or how much they actually paid for it. But Walmart has implemented some security measures on that, so you can't just print out your own barcodes anymore. So these ladies decided to take the bargain bin, so, which I think is a little ballsy on their part.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't condone what she did, but who knows? Maybe she was just trying to provide, you know, some good gifts for her family that she just couldn't afford.
Maybe. But if the husband gave her a Coach purse, again, I'm not sure what a Coach purse is. I don't know if it's a really expensive purse or something.
Sadly, I do. I wouldn't say very expensive, but it's somewhat expensive.
Yeah. So they obviously have some money.
Yeah.
So I've heard of stories like this before where a person's like, oh, I'm good. They go in and they steal something. It's like, oh, I'll pay for it. Well, you should have done that before instead of, you know, trying to make off without with it. You know, if you could have paid for it, then you should have just paid for it. You know, the people, if you've got money and you're stealing, I have no sympathy for you. Matt, your thoughts?
They said they stole a computer.
Yeah, they marked down a computer using the stickers from the bargain bin.
I bought a laptop from Walmart and you pay for it at the electronics counter.
Yeah.
So I don't know how that laptop could have gotten out.
I think in some instances, it depends on the department and depends on how busy the store is. Sometimes those departments, they might just say, oh, did you want to ring that up here or did you want to take it up to the front counter? In some instances, if they have time and if they are not, if there's enough employees, they will let you take it up to the front, but they will walk you up with you. So right. They will walk up with you so you don't walk off with it.
Right.
I used to work at a store like, it wasn't Walmart, it was another store. I won't mention the name, but I heard a number of stories like this. And I've heard stuff like people were taking and they were bringing stuff from the showroom, you know, out where everything was. And they were like literally taking and throwing it out the door of where the loading dock was, and they tried to make off with it.
Mm-hmm.
And they got caught. So if you have high enough retail stuff and they want it bad enough, they'll find a way to try to get it.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
As far as this Black Friday nonsense, I've done that once and never again. I'm doing my shopping online.
Yeah, I don't believe in standing out at 4 a.m. or 3 a.m. to, you know, get some smoking deal.
Oh, no. Well, yeah. Here's the thing though. Like the Black Friday wasn't a Walmart actually. And the crowd in there was so massive. My anxiety and my autism starts setting in. I don't do big crowds. Okay. I can't stand them. I like my personal space. I get agitated. My nervous tics, like my physical nervous tics start setting in and I just, no, I'm not doing it again.
Yeah. The last time I was at a Black Friday event, I was actually the one behind the counter. So
yeah, you gotta piss off of those people.
Yeah, I've done those a few times in the morning. It's like the worst part about that is, and not until everybody else leaves, you can't buy anything during that time. So you can't get that in on the great discounts either. And it kind of sucks. So screw them.
Number 5 is alive.
We're moving technologically into where we're having our own cars and vehicles that are driving by themselves. This is going to be a thing. So let's get used to it, people, because it's coming. It's coming. However, because there are people out on the road and people make mistakes, and sometimes the mechanical stuff does too, there are going to be problems. But it was hit by a truck during its debut ride in Las Vegas' first driverless shuttle, hit the streets on Wednesday. The irony of that statement was promptly hit by a truck. The shuttle was performing a test ride with passengers downtown when it was grazed by a delivery truck around noon. The human driver of the truck, who was backing out at the time, was cited by the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department for the crash. So the human was the one that was responsible, not the robotic machine. The shuttle did what it was supposed to do in that its sensors registered the truck and the shuttle stopped to avoid the accident, the city said in a statement. Unfortunately, the delivery truck did not stop and graze the front fender of the shuttle. Had the truck been sensing the equipment that the shuttle has, the accident would have been avoided. So if the semi, it's a semi apparently that was backing out, if they would have had the same sensors, they probably could have avoided the accident. But semis don't have those kind of sensors on board, unfortunately. Not currently, anyway. It's a cute little bus. It just says hop on. It's a little blue thing. There's no driver on board. So are these things going to become a thing? Yes. So let's get used to it and stop running into these things. It's your fault if you hit them. Ranger, your thoughts.
This may become a thing, but let me be very clear. I'm not getting into a car without a driver. Sorry. That's a personal guest machine. I'd rather have a driver. I trust it more in that system. Sorry.
I'll get in and I'm going to sit there and watch YouTube.
Oh, then again, was it? I like sometimes when I need to go, like really need to go someplace, I take what's called a Blazer up here in Vermont, which is pretty much like a 24-hour taxi. Then again, if I even do consider taking that, I don't have to give the machine a tip.
That's true. Although it might say tip, please. There might be a little tip sign somewhere in there. Then the guy gets the clean. He gets the tips. You know.
Yeah. Right.
Matt, your thoughts?
Well, looking at the picture, it looks like a big giant toaster.
It does look like a toaster.
Well, if you really look at it.
The thing is about this, because the way it's shaped, it looks like there is literally no front or back. It looks like it could go in either direction.
Right.
I'm sure that there is a front on this and there is a back on this. It's just kind of funny. It doesn't look like it has either. The dimensions look about the same on both ends.
Right. And yeah, but that's scary though. I mean, what if the thing malfunctions and goes backwards and runs right into somebody, you know?
Like I said, it has sensors on there and they're supposed to avoid that. I'm sure they test for that. They don't just say, okay, let's just stick a computer and then just send it on its way. You know?
No, I understand that, but you know, it's computerized, so it can malfunction though.
Well, yeah, I'm sure eventually it probably would, but I mean, they do a lot of testing on these things. And again, these things, they're coming, and I'm sure before they hit the streets out where we are, they're going to have a lot more testing. And Las Vegas is a big city. I was with my daughter today. We were talking about traffic in different cities, and traffic around where I live is very light by comparison everywhere. I mean, I complain about the traffic as it is, but I mean, I get places like Minneapolis or Chicago or Milwaukee or Madison, and the traffic there is just nuts by comparison. So you get something if they release out on a traffic area like Las Vegas, and the fact that it got into an accident on the first day, I'm not surprised, actually. Not because the robot did anything wrong, but because humans are crazy and we just don't pay attention to everything around us. And the only person that we see on the road is us at that moment. Even if though we see these other cars there, the only people that we're concerned about is the wheels under our butt, you know. So we're just the ones looking around and we're just trying to get to our fastest destination. And if we have to cut somebody off to do it, we will do it. And that's a horrible way to think about it, but it's true.
It's just scary, you know, that we're actually coming to this now. You know, back in the 50s, I mean, none of us are around in the 50s, but, you know, they were saying that cars would be flying through the air.
Yeah, they're wrong. But
well, right, but we're starting to.
Yeah, we're getting closer to it. It's going to take a while, but we will get to it. It's like how when we make up movies or TV shows or whatever. It's like, think of the movie Back to the Future, for example. We thought in 2012 or whatever it was, or 2014. I forget when it was in the movie, but it's like, oh, we have flying cars in 2014, and this movie was made back in the 1980s. Mm-hmm. So even then they got it wrong. I mean, where's my flying car? Where's my hoverboard? Damn it.
The car terminators are coming, ladies and gentlemen.
And actually, in the first Back to the Future, they said Cubs would win the World Series in 2015. They were a year off.
Yeah, they were a year off. They were real close on that one, though.
Yeah. Gotta give them credit for that.
Yeah. Practical Magic said in the chat room, and thank you for your comment. She goes, Johnny Cab! That's that was the one with Arnold Schwarzenegger, Get Your Ass to Mars. So...
What Johnny, movie was that from?
That was Total Recall.
Okay.
I wouldn't want a Johnny Cab. The Johnny Cabs in that movie are really annoying.
Huh? How did I get in this taxi?
The door open. You got in.
And very, very sassy. Watch the movie. Focus your face right on the Johnny Cab's face and you'll know what I'm talking about.
Teach me how to be sensible.
And tonight we have our logic game, and I'm going to give everybody a statement based on a logic question, and you tell me what this might be. All right, our logical fallacy tonight is, the eye is an incredible complex biomechanical machine with thousands or interlocking parts. How could that exist without an intelligent designer? Is that A, an appeal to incredulity, B, appeal to nature, C, appeal to novelty, or D, red herring? What do you think that is? A, B, C, or D?
I've heard this argument before. I mean, to me, it's the argument of complexity. But if I had to choose, I guess maybe appeal to nature.
Option B. Okay.
Yes.
Matt, what do you think? A, B, C, or D?
I would go with D.
D? Okay. You guys ready for the answer?
Sure.
Okay. The answer is A, appeal to incredulity. Because a claim sounds unbelievable, it must not be true. That's what incredulity means.
Thank you.
It's basically saying, I don't understand how this thing works, So therefore it must not be true.
And I've heard this kind of thing like a billion times before, obviously, but it's a part of the whole complexity argument that creationists like to use.
Yes, they do. They love to use that argument. It's an argument from personal incredulity.
Okay, cool.
So, good to know. Yeah, there you go. So next time you're in a discussion with somebody and they throw that up, and you can say, hey, that's an appeal to incredulity or your personal incredulity. All right, well, we got to get out of here. I want to thank everybody for coming to the show. We'll be back on Wednesday at 5 p.m. Central Time, and then we'll be back again on Friday for our OK Let's Talks. We're not going to be here for the 24th, so we're going to have our OK Let's Talk a little early. Have a good night, and we'll see you then. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
And that's a wrap.